Tonight, we've got a teaching by a scholar, a theologian, an apologist, a great man, a great priest. He's looking at himself. It's going to be a talk on Don't Let Your Heart Be Troubled.
We see in the news is there is a lot of violence and anger, voting going on about who's going to run for president and what qualifications we have and who's going to run for Congress. And there's a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger in our world. And I think the thing we have to stop and consider is that God is well aware of all that is going on. And what that means, in spite of all the problems and all the difficulties that we hear, war and peace and everything, the reality is God has put us here. We are here at this time in history and this world and in the United States because God wants us here. And He wants us here not just to take up room, but He wants us here because He wants us to be doing something. He wants us to be doing something about the world as it is. The overall picture, I have no idea what that is. God will work that out Himself. But what it does mean is, I think, just what we've heard already tonight, that God expects something from us. And it is more than just living out our life over these years and then dying. That for whatever reason, God has said to each one of us by our birth, you belong here at this time and place because you are here to accomplish something. Something that is going to lead to those end times when God comes back in the fullness of His power and glory. That we are not here merely to mark time. We're not here just to come along and say, well, this is a lousy time to live or whatever. But God is coming along and saying, I have placed you here. And we might say, well, as a person, what can I do? There's not a whole lot I can do. God doesn't come along and say that because of you individually are going to change the world and make it a different place. What He is saying is that I have placed you here because I have you here to do something. Something that's worthwhile and in my eyes important. May not be important to the rest of the world. The rest of the world may never even know about it. That's not the point. The point is that God comes along and says, I know who you are, and I have given you a responsibility. And we have to be willing to open ourselves up to that. I think the things that we have heard tonight, I don't care whether it's trying to keep the Lord's Day holier than we have in the past, whether it's trying to give glory and praise to God every day of our life. And some of the songs that we sang tonight, we hear those things. Whether we are here to influence a neighbor, influence a politician, influence somebody else that may be walking the wrong path. We don't know. We don't know whose lives we may touch and whose lives we may change. Nor what we may do may change the direction that the world is going in. What he is telling us is that we are here, and he has given us everything we need. As a sister read tonight, she said, before Jesus ascended into heaven, I am going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he is going to empower you, give you the things that are necessary to touch our world, whether it's in our household, our neighborhood, our state, our city, our world, who knows? But he is there, giving us an understanding that our lives are not to be a life that says, yikes, I hate this world, I'm going to spend the rest of my life under my bed hiding. That's not what we're here for. We are here to live out the command that God has given us. We are here to open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can carry out whatever it is that we are to accomplish. We may accomplish it and not even know it. It may be something that we do that seems to be of no account and yet leads to somebody truly changing the world. But the thing is, what we are to do is not try to figure out. Wonder what it is that God wants me to do. I can't think, No, it's I'm here to live my life. To live my ordinary life in the trust and love that God is calling me to. To know that he has empowered us through our baptism, through the Eucharist, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, to live a life that affects our world. This is one of the things that I think is hardest for us to understand, is that my presence as a person who knows and loves God and wants to serve him radiates outward and touches the lives of other people, even though we may not be aware of it. It may affect our neighborhood. It may affect the place where we work. It may touch our companions, our family. We just don't know. But there is something that God has said, you have to do. You have to do this. Otherwise, what I want to accomplish will take longer than necessary if you don't. Just take the apostles. You had 12 crummy guys that were doing whatever. And God says, come follow me. And after Jesus ascended into heaven, and he said, go back to Jerusalem, go into the upper room and wait for the Holy Spirit. And they all said, no, the hell with that. And off they go. What would have happened? How would God go out and touch the world and find those 12 people to bring them together to do the work he wanted them to do? Because those 12 people changed the world because of their faith and trust in God's call and the power of the Holy Spirit working in them. And they brought people to understand that God is at work in this world. You know, as I said it somewhere, I forget, but, some lady, she's 85 years old and writes books and gets up and says, you have to understand the Bible's a work of fiction. And you say, how do you explain that a book of fiction has been around for 2,000 years changing the world? How do you explain that? How do you get that across, that this is nothing more than just something somebody made up. I mean, there are a lot of good books out there, a lot of self-help books. None of them have the staying power of this book that continues to change the lives of people. The only reason somebody can get up and say that is because we live in a time when people are turning into themselves, being selfish and self-centered, and totally engrossed in only what they want and what they can get. To the point that they don't care how they treat others, what they do, how they live, as long as they find their own self-satisfaction. And God has come along and said, well, this is the evil one at work. And we have to understand that. But we are here because God has said, you are the ones. And I just don't mean this group, but I mean all Christians, all those who truly love God and are living in this world today, he is calling all of them. As he calls us to understand that living out our faith day in and day out is going to change the world. I'm sure that many of those people in those times of the apostles didn't come into contact with each of those apostles, but they got in touch with somebody that met them and somebody else who met them. And they said, well, these people have touched me. These people changed my life. And we just don't know how that's going to affect people. The thing is, we should never come upon and look upon ourselves and say, I don't think God cares that I'm here or not. What can I do? I take care of my animals. I take care of my house. I go out and work and I say hi to this person. And I go to the store and get mad at the way people behave. And I blow my horn at people that don't pay attention to the laws. What does God care about that? God is coming along and saying, no, you have to understand that you're here for a reason. We are here for his purposes. That there is no one in this world that God created just to create somebody to take up space. He's calling every one of us. And we may be the one who touches one person that reaches out and touches another. I was talking to somebody just the other day, and I've mentioned this lots of times, but that book by Carruthers, From Prison to Praise, I told this, talking to this person. The person was talking to me, and him, it was said that they were in tough times, but they read that book, and it changed their life. They read that book, and it took them from a path to self-destruction to understand the worth and value of who she was. And I said to her, I said, I read the same book. I said, and it changed my life. I said, when I read it, I said it was a bunch of garbage, and I threw it away. I've told that story. But after I experienced what he said, and found it to be true, I retrieved that book from the trash and found out that it is. It's a life-saving book. I'm not saying we have to write a book, but what I'm saying is our life can touch others, and we don't have to go around beating people over the head. All we have to do is experience them. My sister, I've talked about my sister. My sister lived in a kind of a crummy neighborhood. Wasn't that crummy, but there are a lot of crummy people in the neighborhood, let's put it that way. She never married. She adopted a daughter, a girl for her daughter, and tried to raise her. She had a dog or two and what have you. But there were some really difficult people in the neighborhood. Probably on drugs, maybe prostitutes, I really don't know. But they lived a hard life. Time and again, they came to my sister's house looking for help of any kind. I don't care what it was. And I could go and talk to my sister, and my sister would say, "These people drive me up the wall because they have no idea how to live their life." But when they came to the door, she just helped them. Didn't matter what it was. Whether it was money, whether it was food, whether it was a ride to the doctors. She never yelled, she never screamed, she never got mad at them. She accepted them for who they were. Didn't like them all. Thought some of them didn't deserve to be alive because of the way they lived. But when they came to the door, she said, "I'll see what I can do." We don't know how those people changed. Maybe they never did. But they knew they could come to her without anxiety, without fear, and know she would hear her, hear them. And she would do what she could do. As Christians, we so often turn our back on people. We pay no attention to them because they're going to be a bother. They're going to be difficult to deal with. We're not going to like them. We don't want to have to put up with them. And above all, we don't want to keep running into them at Walmart and trying to help them. Week after week. So we shut our eyes and we pretend that we don't see them or don't know them. And if they come up, we say, "I'm sorry, I don't have time for this." And I'm not saying we have to give them money. I've said this before. Sometimes all we need to do is say, "What's your name? I really can't help you financially, but I will pray for you this week." And sometimes people are very appreciative because nobody prays for them, because nobody knows their name. But when we say, "Tell me your name and I'll pray for you this week," maybe the next time you'll give them some money. I don't know. But the thing is that God has us here and He doesn't want us to hide. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to come along and say, "God can't expect me to do this." Or, "God doesn't want me to do this." God wants us to do whatever we can for the people He loves. And the people He loves is everyone He's created. So if He loves them, shouldn't we stretch out our hand and try to be a sign of God's love, operative in a crazy and maybe even a disgusting world, and be a sign of hope to those who are looking for some kind of new life.